That was a sermon right there. Praise the Lord, Sam, for sharing that beautiful message with us this morning. And praise God for his goodness. Amen? We praise God for his abundant love. We praise God for what he's doing in the lives of so many of his children. And we are here to rejoice in the Lord. Yes? That's the title of today's sermon, Rejoice in the Lord. Is that something we can experience today, brothers and sisters? Can we experience joy? We can. It's something that God wants to gift each one of us. I know sometimes we see what's happening in the world, as Brian was mentioning, and we feel that how can we experience joy in these circumstances? How can we experience joy when we're going through challenges? But the Bible invites us to praise the Lord. And so today I would like to express my gratitude also to David and Abby, who are here, and for the entire team, for the work that they have done. Amen? Incredible work that they've done. And we praise God for the decisions that have been made. We praise God for the baptisms. We praise God for the visitors who are coming to our church and they're learning more about Scripture. I would like to also express my gratitude to the entire church family. Thank you, because without your support, this could not have happened. We needed each one of you through prayer, through invitations, through helping out in the fellowship hall, by smiling, and we praise God for each one of you. And I am truly, I know Pastor Jeff as well, we feel privileged to minister in this church and to pastor here at the Fallbrook SDA Church. So we would like to just express our gratitude to each one of you. And I also pray that today's message will be one that will encourage you. I don't know how you came here this morning. I don't know how you're feeling right at this moment. But I pray that every prayer, every song, every story that you've heard today has brought encouragement to your heart. Fuad, our condolences to your family as well. I know your brother passed away 2 weeks ago. And so we want to lift you up in prayer as well. And we have the blessed hope that when Jesus comes, we will see him again. Okay? And so this week I also had received the sad news, and maybe some of you have not heard this sad news, but our good friend, Don Farbach. How many know Don Farbach? So Don Farbach passed away. And he was here for the whole meetings. And he was here after the meetings for 1 week. He flew to Hawaii with his son, and his daughter lives there. And I believe it was on Monday morning, early in the morning, he passed away. So our condolences also to his family, and also to the Hildebrand family, Knudsen family, who were very close to Don Farbach. And we seem to be living in these opposing poles all the time. On the one side, we're happy, we're joyous for decisions that have been made. We're happy for a grandson who has been born. We're happy for things that are happening in our lives, for a new job or for new opportunities. And at the same time, we experience a world with turmoil, with challenges, with loved ones who are passing away. And it seems that this is getting worse every day, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? I mean, you hear the news, North Korea. You hear the news, Syria. You hear the news, Russia, the United States. And the tension can be felt in the air. And even when you speak to people, they tell you, hey, what's going on? What's happening? Can we still praise the Lord in moments like these? We can still praise the Lord in moments like these. And these experiences that people have are not just over there far away, but we experience them here as well. We think of children. Wow. They're having to grow up in a very conflicting world. And it's not just happening in Syria. It's happening here too. I had that experience not too long ago. I went to a store, and I was looking at some clothes, and I was going through the racks, and to my right-hand side, I hear the voice of a 7-year-old, maybe an 8-year-old immigrant boy. "Dad, they said I was stupid, Dad." And Dad was looking at the clothes too, so he wasn't paying too much attention. He was just going through the clothes, and Dad's like, no, don't listen to them. "Dad, they said they don't want me to be here." So I looked at the kid, and I felt sad for him because he was concerned. I can tell this was a burden upon his heart. So I just said, "Hey, I don't think you're stupid. I think you're smart." And the kid looked at me and he said, "Oh, somebody else is listening in." So he became really quiet. And I said, I think you're really smart. I'm guessing you can speak 2 languages? And he stood there silently. And then his dad turned around and he said, "No, he can speak 3 languages. Wow, an 8-year-old who can speak 3 languages. And so I went on and asked him, "So what languages can you speak?" And he stood straight up and he said, "I can speak English." "Great, that's a very important language to know. That's good. I'm glad you know English. Well, what other language do you know how to speak?" And he just stood there. He thought. There was a pause, and I'm waiting. And he said, shyishly, "Spanish." And he said, "Spanish?" And I looked a little bewildered. "¿Hablas español?" And he just stood quiet. And his dad answered and said, "No, he doesn't speak Spanish. He speaks Arabic. He speaks Chaldean." This is a language, Aramaic, that Christians in the Middle East speak as well, besides Arabic. And it shocked me, his answer, that he would say, "I speak Spanish," or "I wish I spoke Spanish." We're living in a time, brothers and sisters, where people are judged because of where they come from. People are judged because of the way they look. People are being judged because of the languages that they speak. And it's hard to see that this tension that seems to be far away on the other side of the world is being felt here sometimes by little children. And I think of, will there come a day when saying, "I am a Christian," will be something that people will look down at us? Is that what the Bible says? Are we ready for those days, brothers and sisters? That's coming. That's coming. And we live in this world where you sense that something is not right. And we go to thinking, well, what can we do? How can we help? And we might say, "Hey, if you get an education, people will respect you." Yes, and praise the Lord for those who are graduating from high school. Amen? And praise the Lord for those who are graduating from college. And praise the Lord for those who are going to graduate school and getting a degree. But is that the solution? It isn't. Or some might say it's family. You know, having a family, that's going to help you in life. And you're going to, and praise the Lord for those who've just become grandparents again. Amen? And praise the Lord for those who are parents. Amen? That motivates you to get up every morning and say, "I'm going to fight the challenges that I'm going to be facing today." But is that the solution? How about a great job, a new job? Is that the solution? No, yes, it might help us financially, but still, the problems, the challenges, the tension that is felt. How about a vacation? Yeah, it's going to solve the problem. We need a break here. Summer's coming. Some of us are already thinking, oh, I'm going to Romania. Others are thinking, I'm going to visit family over here. And it seems like, whew, we can step aside from the hustle and bustle and maybe find that peace, that joy that we so long for. But is that the solution, brothers and sisters? It isn't. The solution is where? It's in Jesus. The solution is in God's Word. And I believe that the Bible tells us, brothers and sisters, some beautiful, beautiful passages that tell us there's more rejoicing over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. Amen? There's more joy in heaven. And the Bible tells us that we should be rejoicing in knowing that our names are written in the book of life. Amen? Amen. That's where our source of joy should be coming from. It's from heaven, from God himself, and knowing what God has done for each one of us. Recently, I had the opportunity to visit a home. These are my friends, Miriam and Bob. They're Sephardic Jews. And as little bit I know about the story is they were once in Spain, about 400-500 years ago, their family. And because of persecution, they went to Turkey. And they were there for many, many centuries. And they spoke a Spanish called Ladino. And they still sing in that language, beautiful language. But because things got tense over there as well, they came over to Mexico. And Miriam, I think, was born in Mexico. And from being in Mexico, they came over to San Diego. And this is where Miriam met her husband, Bob Sherman. And so I've known this family, and they've invited me several times to a Seder, yes? To this their Passover. And so it was Tuesday night at 7 p.m. as the sun was going down. You can see there a little bit of the sun there. And again, we sat around this table. And what they do is they retell the story of the Exodus. They tell of how God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. They tell the story of how God led them through the desert. Amazing story. And what always catches my attention is how they set the table. And this time around, this is what I noticed. So this is where they put the matzah bread. That's where they have the grape juice. And this was a laver for washing their hands. And that's part of how they celebrate Passover. And I think, wow, that's communion there, isn't it? You have the water, you have the bread, and you have the grape juice. Elements that clearly to us point to whom? Jesus. And how he delivered us from the bondage of sin. Amen? Amen? And we have a reason to celebrate as well. We can say, God, you are faithful. You have kept your promises. And I would see them recite. They recite in Hebrew. And I was listening to Psalm 113, Psalm 114, Psalm 115, Psalm 116, Psalm 117 and 18, the Hallel, which means literally praise. They're praising God as they are telling the story of how God delivered them from Egypt. This was probably what Jesus sung at the end with his disciples. Psalms 113 through 118. And when you get home, take time to read it. Beautiful, beautiful messages inviting us to praise the Lord. Amen? Because we have a reason to praise the Lord. I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And this is where we're going to focus on this afternoon, Philippians chapter 4. As you know, this letter, an ode of joy, a song of joy, was written by Paul. And he was writing it to the church in Philippi, the first church plant in Europe. This was the church Paul was addressing. But the context is different. When Paul is writing to this church after several years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years, after he had been there and planted this church in Philippi, Paul is now in Rome. And you know where Paul is? Paul is in prison. He's writing from prison. And you might think, well, Paul has a reason to be mad. Paul has a reason to be angry. Paul has a reason to be upset. Paul has a reason to be ticked off. He's in prison. And he didn't do anything. His fault, he's preached the gospel to the Gentiles. But I'm amazed at how God, at how Paul addresses the church under these circumstances. Instead of you hearing him upset, mad, angry for what's happening to him, this is what we see in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. What do you see there? What do you hear there?
Love.
You hear tenderness. My beloved and longed for brethren. He calls the members of the church in Philippi my joy and my crown. Brother Samuel Brunson, I believe God chose that song for today. Because this is what Paul tells the church. Stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Lucy, stand fast in the Lord. Challenges will come. Difficulties will come. But stand fast in the Lord. Persevere. Are we facing challenges today, brothers and sisters? We are facing challenges today. But stand fast. The Lord is with us. He has not forsaken us. And we are invited to persevere in the Lord. Is there somebody who wants to discourage us? And his name is?
Satan.
Satan wants to discourage us. The book Steps to Christ, the chapter Rejoice in the Lord. This is what we find. Satan is exultant when he can lead the children of God into unbelief and despondency. He delights to see us mistrusting God, doubting his willingness and power to save us. He loves to have us feel that the Lord will do us harm by his providences. Satan ever seeks to make the religious life one of what, brothers and sisters? Gloom. He desires it to appear toilsome and difficult. And when the Christian presents in his own life this view of religion, he is, through his unbelief, seconding the falsehood of Satan. Wow! Mercy! This is what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to plant what? Doubt. He's trying to plant unbelief. He's trying to make us think God does not care what I am going through. Is that true, brothers and sisters? No, it is not true. God cares what you are going through. God cares about your feelings. God cares about your thoughts. God cares about your actions. God cares about your relationships. God cares about your work. But he cares more about you because you are his child. Amen? You are his child. Verse 2. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Something is happening at the church. Two people are not getting along. Is that troublesome? That is troublesome. And Paul understood. There is a situation at the church right now. We need to take care of it right away. In fact, he says, I urge you also, true companion, he's talking to Clement here, help these women who labored with me in the gospel and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He sees that there is division that is wanting to come into the church. Can division cause pain in the church, brothers and sisters? Can division cause pain at home? Can division cause pain at work? Yes. And Paul understood this and he said, I urge you to be of the same mind. And when he's talking about the same mind as the mind of Paul, or the mind of Syntyche or Euodia, it's the mind of Christ Jesus. Be of this same mind. He urges the church to work together. And especially in these days, brothers and sisters, that we are living, we need to be united in Jesus. Amen? We need to be asking for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is our privilege to ask and to plead for the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to finish the work that has been given to us. If we keep fighting with each other, and not that we are, but just in case, the work will not go forward. And Paul, seeing this danger, urges these members of the church to be of the same mind, to be united. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, Pastor Sam, if you knew exactly what I'm going through, you would not ask me to rejoice. Where was Paul again? He was in prison. And he was saying to the members of the church in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord. What a privilege, brothers and sisters. A Christian should be known by their joy. Not just by their love, but by their joy. How many of us want the fruits of the Spirit? Amen? First fruit, love. Second fruit, joy. It's right there. Christians should be known because of their joy. I was reading a devotional on the Holy Spirit, and this is by Sister White. The devotional was talking about holiness, and she equaled it to joy. What does the world say? If you disobey God, you'll have what? You'll have fun. If you disobey God, You will enjoy life like no one. Is that true? Those of us who've disobeyed God, we know that is not true. There's only pain, there's only suffering, there's only shame. But we can find true joy in being obedient to God. Amen? Amen. We can find true joy in following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can find true joy. We can rejoice even in difficult times because Jesus has promised to be with us. Can I ask three people here, why do you rejoice today? Can I ask three? Yes, David.
I rejoice today because I know it was God who got me here.
Amen. You rejoice because God got you here. Thus far, he has been with you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. Yes. Amen. Because he takes care of me completely. Can I see? Yes. I rejoice because he has told us these things will happen. So when they do happen, we can believe in him. Praise the Lord. There are hundreds of reasons why we should be praising the Lord today. And in the chapter of rejoicing in the Lord, there was this lady who wrote to Sister White a letter looking for words of encouragement. And how many of us love to receive words of encouragement? Yes, I love to receive words of encouragement. And she wrote saying, I need you to share some words of encouragement. And she had a dream. And in the dream, she was in this beautiful garden with beautiful flowers. And she was walking in this garden and she could see roses and she could see violets and she could see pinks and she could see, help me. What is it? Yellows, sunflowers, lots of beautiful flowers. And she was gathering these flowers. But she saw this lady also walking in the same garden. And in that garden, she saw the thorns and the thistles. And she was focusing on these thorns, and she was grabbing them and collecting them. And she said, oh, they hurt me so much. They pain me so much. And she heard the voice of someone in the garden saying, why pay attention to those thorns? Why pay attention to those thistles when you could be looking at the flowers? Has God blessed us in the past? He has blessed us abundantly in the past. Why not focus on those good things that we have experienced, that have brought joy to our life? We can praise God. We can rejoice in him. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. Sammy Brenson, Lexi, let your gentleness be known to all men. Do we need more kind Christians today, brothers and sisters? Do we need more gentle Christians today? We need them today. We need them. Jesus said, I am gentle and meek. I am humble and meek. Learn from me. And here Paul encourages the church, let your gentleness be known to all men. The reason he gives is the following. The Lord is at hand. Amen? Is the Lord at hand? He is at hand. And the invitation for each one of us is to let his gentleness shine through us. Steps to Christ again. Page 115. Says the children of God are called to be representatives of who? Of Christ, showing forth the goodness and mercy of the Lord. As Jesus has revealed to us the true character of the Father, So we are to reveal Christ to a world that does not know his tender, pitying love. Is that something you and I can do? That's something we can do through our actions, through our words. We are invited to show the love of Jesus to a world that does not know him. Last thing here that Paul will, like a second to last thing that Paul will share here with the church of Philippi. Be anxious, in verse 6, for some things. Be anxious for the important things. How about be anxious for at least one thing? No? Be anxious for, someone in first service said, nada. Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. How can we be anxious for nothing? Is that easy for you? It's not easy for me. I'm not this skinny just for anything, okay? I do stress. So how can we be anxious for nothing? When the doctor tells us that we have a sickness that could take our life away. When our bank account is at zero. When our friends and family members don't want to even talk to us. Is it possible, brothers and sisters, to not have anxiety, to be at peace in those difficult times? Yes. It's possible. It's possible. Paul writes to the church and says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Amen. By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Those things that concern you, those things that concern me, I can bring them to God in prayer. And he's promised to listen. I can bring my problems to my wife, Carolina. Can she do something about them? I can bring my problems to Pastor Jeff. Can he do something about them? Yeah. Definitely. I can pour my heart out to you, church family. And can you do something for my situation? You can pray. And we can pray to God who can do something about it. Amen? He can do something to change our situation, to change at least the way we see things. Verse 7 tells us that if we do these things, if we stand fast in the Lord, if we are of one mind, if we are united, if we rejoice in the Lord, if we are gentle, not just with each other here at church, but gentle when we're driving, gentle when we're at work, gentle with everyone, we're not anxious for anything, and we bring our request in prayer to God. Verse 7 tells us, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Is that a beautiful promise? It's a beautiful promise. God will take care of those emotions that are there. I know they're there. So I feel them. He'll take care of those thoughts that keep plaguing us. And we know the source of those doubts. That's Satan. He can keep our hearts and minds if we bring our concerns to him in prayer. Lexi, Sam, Lucy, take time to pray. It is vital. It's the only way we can all make it. And we as a church, we will be praying for you and your family as well. We'll be praying for God's Holy Spirit to continue to work in your hearts. Verse 8 tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The world will tell you to think on a lot of things that we should not be even thinking about. We shouldn't even know about it. The Lord invites us to think on those things that are lovely, pure, good, worthy of praise. And verse 9 tells us, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is calling the church to live the gospel. Paul is calling the church with urgency, with love, with compassion, to put their trust in Jesus. Is that something you and I can do today, brothers and sisters? By the grace of God? And the promise is that we will be able to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? And so when we leave this place and we face the challenges and situations of life, we will be able to face them like Jesus faced them. Amen? He counted it a joy to give his life on that cross because he saw you. He saw me one day living with him forever and ever. Amen.